Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
I'll speak to them in a way knowing they are very interested in webinars. So I have a better communication with them because I know where their interest is. And so it takes a little bit longer, but they're a really hot audience. And the majority of those people will be signing up for my masterclass.
This is the show where I bring you the best tips, tactics, and strategies for using paid traffic to grow your business on autopilot. You also hear what's working and not working right now from the top minds in online marketing so that you can get more leads and sales every day without having to empty your wallet in the process. All right, let's jump into it. Welcome back to the Art of Paid Traffic, everybody. What's up, AOPT Nation? Rick Mulready here. Thanks so much for joining me here on today's episode. Got to start out by apologizing to you a little bit in advance. You might hear me wheezing here on today's episode because I've been sick all week and it has moved into my chest and it is wreaking havoc with my asthma. So I'm pretty wheezy as I'm talking here, but I think I've been able to control it and get ready for recording this for you pretty well. And you're going to be glad you tuned in today, not only because you get to hear me wheeze on the microphone, but today is our third in our three-part mini-series talking all about how to use webinars and paid traffic to grow your business. Now, if you heard episode number 70, I talked all about how to use streaming webinars and paid traffic to automate your business. In the last episode, episode number 71, John Lee Dumas from EO Fire joined me to talk about how to create a seven-figure business using webinars and Facebook ads. And in this episode here, one of my very best friends, Amy Porterfield, is going to rejoin me here on the podcast to talk about how to know if webinars will work for you and your business. And we also get into several tips and strategies for creating a high converting webinar. Amy is one of the very best people that I know when it comes to creating and delivering webinars that convert. And I'm really psyched to welcome her back to the show today so that she can share her secrets with you. So without further ado, let's jump right into it. Let's go hang out with Amy. Amy Porterfield, welcome back to the Art of Paid Traffic. How's it going?
It is going wonderful. And you know, I love to be on your show. So thanks for having me.
I was thinking before we started recording here, like whatever my challenge with you having you on the podcast is, you know, keeping it on business here without laughing the entire time. And just, we're here to have a good time. We also want to be teaching though.
Now, I don't know if I said this on your podcast or mine, because you've been on my show a lot, but I think that we're the next Regis and Kathy Lee. You know how I feel about this.
Yeah. You know how I feel about that too.
You don't like to be Regis, but I'm fine with being Kathy Lee. And I think that we are good on a show together. So this is going to be a great one.
Yes. Does that mean we talked about this before and we have a, you know, it's a lot of work to do our own podcast, but having a podcast for the two of us.
So much easier.
So much easier. So much easier. And we can
Take it away, Regis.
It's Michael Strahan now, by the way.
I live in the past.
We are talking about webinars. So we have been, we've been in the middle of a mini series here on the podcast talking all about webinars and paid traffic and how to leverage webinars to grow your business, all while being fueled by paid traffic. And we've been talking a lot about Facebook ads, obviously, here on the show. And why I wanted to bring you on here to talk about how to know if webinars are going to work for your business. Because when I think about webinars and think about, you know, who really gets webinars, who knows how to talk about and create webinars that are going to grow your business, that are going to be high converting, you are at the top of my list. And I'm not just saying that because we're such close friends. I mean, really, you're pretty synonymous about with when it comes to webinars and using webinars to grow your business. So I wanted to have you on to talk about webinars. And again, specifically, we're going to get into a bunch of different things. But one of the big questions that I get a lot is, how do I know if webinars are going to work for my business? So I want to pose that question to you right off the bat.
I love this question because webinars are not necessarily right for every business. And I do think that if you have an online training program or course, or if you want to do something like a live online workshop, so you want to sell it in advance and then deliver it live, or if you have a service that you want to maybe package your service and sell that online, I think those three scenarios work really well for webinars. And there's some other situations that could work, but those are the three that I think are kind of home runs. And so if you fit into that kind of section there that you're thinking, okay, I could sell this online on a webinar, when you think of your webinar topic, you basically want to think of the what. What's the opportunity that you want to present to your audience? And that usually makes a really great webinar. So to sum it up real quickly, then I'll get into some detail. The webinar is the what. What's the opportunity? And your paid program, product, or service is the how. How they're going to dive in and actually take action and get results. So when you're thinking about the what, the opportunity, what you want to do is you want to inspire and educate and really answer the question, what does my audience need to know, understand, be aware of before they're ready to take out their wallet and pay me for my paid service, program, product, whatever it might be? And there's some questions you need to answer, some objections that you need to get over, and some stories that you need to tell in order to paint the picture of why the opportunity is such a big one. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. So can you talk a little bit more about that? Because I think that there's, you know, sometimes webinars get sort of a bad name, quote unquote, if you will, out there, because people feel like, oh, I know that I'm going to go have to sit through a webinar and then I'm going to get pitched at the end. But
right.
What I love about how you do webinars is that people can walk away from a webinar that you do, and if they don't buy whatever the opportunity that you're presenting to them to continue their education, they can take what they learned in the webinar and go do that. Like, that's enough information there for them to succeed.
I love that you bring that up. Yeah, so this is really important. I actually have this mantra that I say before I get on any webinar, and the mantra is, no matter if they buy or not, they walk away today feeling inspired, educated, and driven to take action. So I literally say that out loud to get me in a place of total service for those that are jumping on my webinar. I'm going to give them my best stuff and support them throughout the entire webinar. And when I say that, it kind of gets me in the right place, but it also reminds me that I've got to give my best stuff away for free, because not everybody's going to buy on your webinar, but you are going to be able to create an audience that is going to stay with you for life. They feel like you took great care of them. Like you said, they learn something. And what I do on my webinars is I make sure that I have examples and show a lot of imagery and really bring it to life for them in terms of, this is how you do it, and this is the step you would take. And I get really hands-on because, again, like you said, I want them to walk away knowing that they can do this, whether they want to buy my program or not. Now, I always have a goal on my webinars, and that is that I want you to get on my webinar and love the content so much and you think, holy cow, if this is for free, if this is the stuff she delivers for free, I can't even imagine what her paid stuff looks like. So that's kind of what I want you to think. But I know no matter if you buy or not, I've got to give you the good stuff, the best stuff that I've got.
Yeah. And we talked about this with in the last episode here on AOPT with John Lee Dumas, talking about how he's leveraged a weekly webinar strategy to help grow his business. And now he's doing a bi-weekly one. One thing we talked about was, you know what, even though, and you're kind of leading to this here, but if people join your webinar and they don't actually buy, but they get tons of value, that doesn't mean they're not going to buy from you at some point down the road.
So true. And you know, the number one way that I've grown my email list since 2010 is through webinars. And so my email list is not only really big, but really responsive because I've been able to give them some of my best stuff on my webinars. And they might not be customers, but they definitely are paying attention. And when they're finally ready, they're going to buy. So I think the biggest like icing on the cake with webinars is growing your email list. And those people are more primed to buy. And when they're ready, they will.
Yeah. And so getting people on to these webinars, I know we talk about this quite a bit because of, you know, Facebook ads. You use Facebook ads to get people onto the webinar, but over the past year or so, you've added an additional strategy when it comes to your Facebook ads to do that. So you normally run Facebook ads to the registration page, directly to that registration page to sign up for your webinars. But you also have another strategy that you're doing where you're sending people to content first. Can you just kind of give a high level overview of what that strategy looks like?
Yeah. So one of my favorite things is to write what I call an epic blog post. And that epic blog post is going to be related to the content that I'm going to do on my webinar. Now, it's not going to give it all away for free. So usually in the epic blog post, I take a kind of a different stance or I make sure they're aligned, but they're not like identical. And so that epic blog post is all about the topic, but maybe a little bit of a deeper dive into one or two areas of the topic that I'm going to be discussing on the webinar. And inside that epic blog post is a freebie. So let me give you an example of what I did actually for my webinar masterclass that I have. I wrote an epic blog post about the myths of doing webinars. Some of the myths, like people think that, oh, webinars are a thing of the past. They're not as popular anymore. Or with webinars, I can't sell. I'm not good at selling, so I can't go down that road. Those kind of things, the myths that most people have. And so in that blog post, I then did a freebie about the rookie mistakes that most people make on webinars. So they have to opt in to get the freebie. Now, when they get the freebie, now they're on my email list and I start nurturing that list. And so when I'm ready to invite people to the webinar, those people will get an invite and I'll speak to them in a way knowing they are very interested in webinars. So I have a better communication with them because I know where their interest is. And so it takes a little bit longer, but they're a really hot audience. And the majority of those people will be signing up for my masterclass.
Yeah, guys, this is such a great sort of strategy and lesson here that Amy's talking about, where you're driving Facebook. And we talk about it a lot here in the show, this strategy, where you're driving Facebook ads to a piece of content, getting them to, or including an opt-in to whatever it might be. Maybe you have a direct registration opportunity, opt-in right there within the article, or as Amy's talking about, you do a freebie and then you're following up with them to get them onto, a webinar, for example. Now, I just had another question. I just totally blanked on it, what the question was. It was a super, super important one too.
Don't tease me with that. You got to think about it.
But I think you really nailed it there at the end. You said it might take a little bit longer.
Yes.
But it's a far more qualified person who's going to be attending your webinar, because not only have they consumed the original article, the epic piece of content, but they've also consumed that, you know, they've taken the time to download that freebie.
So true. I do think that patience wins when it comes to list building if you want to get a really responsive list together.
For sure. For sure. Now, you kind of tease us there a little bit, talking about the myths and that sort of thing. Take us through, what are some, like, let's just say the top three tips and strategies for creating a high converting webinar.
Ooh, I like this one. So the first one that comes to mind right away is selling, because a lot of people will say, I want to do webinars, but I'm not really good at selling. And what happens is that, and I've been on these webinars with people before where they're going to deliver impeccable free content. So for about 40 minutes, they are delivering their best stuff and they sound fantastic and it's really valuable. And then they decide, okay, now it's the time I'm going to sell. And they go into the selling portion and it's like their voice tightens up. There's some awkward silence. They're kind of fumbling around. And really quickly as they can, they go through the selling of their product on the webinar. And then they're like, okay, let's answer some questions. And it's like over before it even started. And you're not going to sell a lot if you do it that way. So what I teach my students when it comes to webinars is that you have earned the right to sell if you do a really good job of delivering impeccable, free, valuable content on the front end. And if you put your heart and soul into that. And you know, you're giving them stuff that if they buy or not, they're going to walk away feeling educated, inspired, driven to take action, then you've earned your right to sell your program, product, or service. And if you believe in that program, product, or service, then it's going to be an easier transition. Now, to make it really actionable for you, in order to transition into the selling portion of your webinar, you want to create a series of slides that walk people through what they get. So you're going to have slides where it shows them inside maybe your members area, or it might show some of your cheat sheets. It actually spells out, this is what you get. This is the value. This is how much it is for you today. Here's the URL. It's not just one slide or two slides. I'm talking like 10 slides that really help you walk through what this program is all about. And what I always say is, don't just tell them what they're going to get. Tell them what they're going to create. Make it really valuable in that way.
I love that. Cool.
So using your slides to actually transition into the selling is going to help you immensely.
I can just add to that. Sorry to cut you off. One of the tips that I was given very early on, and you and I talked about this very early on as well when I started doing webinars, was that if you're not confident in that transition going from the content into the opportunity that where, you know, people can purchase your product or service, people are going to read that. People are going to hear
that. They feel it.
You know, mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to feel that lack of confidence, and then they're not going to be confident in what you're offering them. So that's such a huge point.
I think practicing too. So when you get your slides together, you definitely got to practice. I think it definitely helps immensely.
That I always had a hard time with that because
it's awkward, right?
I'm super awkward. Especially if you're recording it, you're like, "All right, I'm going to play this back and listen to it later and sort of critique myself." It's super awkward, but it's so powerful because then you're like, "Oh, wait, I can improve that. I didn't sound very confident there, or this makes no sense. I need to make an improvement there." But practice is super important to get the most out of your webinars. All right, number two.
Okay, so that's a great transition into number two, and you didn't even know it. That is to not put too much on your slides. So let's talk about your slide deck. To me, spending time on a really well-designed slide deck is important. It doesn't need to look, you know, perfect, but it definitely needs to have a flow to it in terms of your content. So what I always say is, if you're going to do a webinar that's like 60 minutes, you want to have at least 80 slides. Now, some people are like, "Are you insane? I can't do 80 slides." But you can when you put just a little bit of content on each of those slides. I think it makes a huge difference when you do that. And so words, phrases, images. And another thing is, a lot of people ask me, "Amy, do you use a script when you're on your webinar?" And I do not. Do you, Rick? Do you use a script?
No, I don't.
I didn't think so. No. So the best webinars I've ever been on and the best webinars I've been able to present are those that I actually use the slides as my flow, but I am going off the cuff. Now, I say that loosely, off the cuff, because I do definitely practice. I go through the slides and I make sure I mentally know which slide is coming next, so I kind of don't step over myself and say something that's coming on a slide three slides down kind of thing. Practice does make perfect, but when you spread out the content, you're going to keep your audience's attention. A lot of times I'm on a webinar and they have 20 slides. What that means is they're staying on a slide for a long time. And guess what happens when someone stays on a slide for a long time? All of a sudden, Facebook looks really attractive to me and I'm going to check my email real fast and send off a quick text. Now you've completely lost me. But if you're going through the slides, boom, 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 like that, they can't help but pay attention. And sometimes during a webinar, I'll say, "Come back to me. If you're multitasking right now, this is the one thing that you can't miss. So come back to me." So I kind of like jar them just a little bit because I know it's so easy to multitask when you're watching a webinar.
I like that. I'm stealing that. Quick side note story. I remember I'd sent over, you were very gracious to look at one of the webinars I did. This was a while ago. And you took one look at it and you're like, "Whoa, slow your roll, Rick. You have way too many points and way too much content on each slide." And so I was like, "Well, if I put like one thing on a slide, I'm going to have, you know, 150 slides.
Bingo.
I'm exaggerating, but this is exactly what we're talking about
here. Yeah, I think I usually have around 120 slides. I'm just don't want to scare people too much, so I say 80. But I'm glad you brought that up, Rick, because you can kill people. Death by bullet points is a real thing. Yeah. And so what people do is they'll say, "Okay, well, my slide builds though. So I've got one bullet point and then the next. No, I don't know if I might have 3 slides with bullet points and that's all through 120 slides. Let's get rid of the bullet points and make those each their own slide. Way more powerful.
Yeah, I was talking to a guy fairly recently. We're talking about webinars and he was saying that when you watch a video, you're more in tune to the video. You're more captivated by the video, the faster it's moving. Like if there's a lot of different angles and shots and going on, there's a lot going on in the video. It's going to hold your attention. He's like, webinars are the same way. And this is exactly what you're talking about here.
Yep, for sure.
Cool. All right. That's point number 2. What is the tip and strategy for creating a high converting webinar? Number 3.
So number 3 is the habit of rushing through a Q&A. So I think that every webinar should end with a live Q&A, where if you are on live, you're allowing your students to ask questions. If it's a pre-recorded webinar, you're picking out the questions that are going to be the most important, you know people are going to ask, and you're answering those at the end. And if you're on live, a lot of the times people will say, okay, for the next 10 minutes, I'm going to answer your questions. And so people are asking questions. And once the 10 minutes up, you say, okay, thanks everyone for being here. I hope you grab my program. I can't wait to see you inside. Have a great day, and you're off. But you might still have 50 people on that are literally ready to ask you another question. The people that are on at the end are those that are more likely to buy. And so I always say, stay as long as you can. If you've got 3 people on, but they're asking good questions, you can convert those people into buyers. They just need your attention. Now, one thing I've noticed, and I just recently learned this, is when you do the Q&A, if you are on live and you can say the person's name, people love to hear their name. So if you know that Jack asked that question, hey, Jack, that's a really good question, and here's what I think. And so acknowledging Jack, telling them you think it's a good question if you genuinely do, and then answering that, right away you've got a connection with Jack. Now, so the tip here is to stay until you don't have any more good questions coming through. But in addition to that, I always think that everybody should start their Q&A with a question that you have created or you've thought of in advance. It kicks things off and it allows people to kind of ease into, oh, well, if someone asks a question first, then I'll ask a question. Right. So what I always do in my Q&As, and I'll say, okay, guys, if you have a question, go ahead and type it into the comments. And I'm going to start out with a question that I get asked all the time. And that is, and I always know, it's a question that relates to why they might not want to buy my program. Like one of the objections they might have, that's the first question I address. So with webinars, I'm just going to tease it. I'm not going to answer it right now, but someone will say, okay, well, what are all the different expenses that come with putting a webinar together? So I know that's a question I'm going to get asked. So I'll say, let me start with that question. I break it all down in my Q&A on my webinar, and then people are now sending in their questions because they're going to take a minute to send in questions, so you don't want that dead air. So just be ready with a really good question related to buying your product.
Yeah, and having that in your, I'm so glad you bring that up, because having that type of question in your pocket ready to go might be very easy if you've done webinars before and you have, you know, you've been tracking the types of questions that you normally get. If this is your first webinar, maybe you don't quite know what that question is. I mean, do your best to try to figure that out.
Right. Yeah.
What might be an objection, or what might be a big question that someone might have about my program or service that I'm selling here on the webinar, and just be ready to go with that question.
One of the easy ones that you can steal from if you can't think of what it should be is, look, I've purchased other programs like this, or, you know, I've done this before and it didn't work for me. Why is yours different? So you could even just start with something like that.
Awesome. Awesome. Do you have one more? I know we did 3, but do you have a bonus one? Let's do a bonus one.
A bonus one. Okay. So let's see. A bonus tip. Oh, it's got to be related to what happens after your webinar. So this is kind of hard to talk about on a podcast, but what I'll say is that when you do a webinar, you must follow up with an email sequence. It starts with the replay email, but then there's a series of emails that you need to send out in order to get all those people that are on the fence still to either jump in or jump out. The worst thing you can do after a webinar promo is have a bunch of people still on the fence. So with an email sequence following a webinar, you can say, okay, if you are this person with these challenges, this program's right for you. If not, then this program's not right for you. So they can jump in or out. That's the goal of a really strong follow-up sequence after a webinar.
I love it. And I want to give a bonus to the bonus.
Ooh, do it.
As you're talking about there, you know, talking about the follow-up, you know, when it comes to Facebook ads, in addition to the email follow-up that you're talking about, Amy, you can also run, and I know that you do a really good job with this, and we talk a lot about this. Facebook ads give you a great opportunity to retarget those people who maybe have, who are either on your webinar but didn't purchase. Maybe they registered for your webinar but didn't attend the webinar. And depending on how you have it set up, whether you have the opportunity to enroll in your course or buy your product or whatever it might be, if that's temporary now, if there's scarcity there, then you, in addition to the email marketing, you can run Facebook ads to those people and show ads to them to let them know, you know, so you're just reaching them on a different medium there in Facebook as well.
Such a brilliant idea. I love that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't, you know, they kind of, you know, they're like, okay, I know I need to email, you know, follow up with them via email. Number one, I'm not really sure how to do that with emails, but they tend to forget the opportunity that exists with Facebook ads to also get in front of those people.
You know, that's a great idea because you spend so much time filling up the webinar and maybe you only get 100 people on the webinar. That's 100 people that raised their hand and said, I'm interested. You need to find every which way to get back in front of them to make sure they know you've got a great offer for them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we took three tips and turned them into 5 tips with 2 bonuses there.
I like how you roll.
To talk about the live masterclass because you've been talking about the live webinar that you do about webinars. And we are going to do a live masterclass together actually this week. So Thursday, January 28th at 10 a.m. Pacific time, depending on when you're listening to this. And it's called How to Create and Deliver Your First 5-Figure Webinar, Even If You Don't Have a List. Tell us more about this.
I'm so excited. And I love doing webinars with you because the banter back and forth is always so good.
Always good.
What I do inside this live masterclass is I break down the whole webinar strategy. There's 5 phases and I walk you through the beginning, you know, more detail about how to create the slide deck and then how to get people actually on the webinar with paid ads and free traffic. And then how to do a live webinar, because I think it's important to have a few live under your belt before we go into automation. So I give you some tips there. Then I really spell out that follow-up sequence. So I kind of hinted at it here, but I show you what emails to send and how often to send them after your webinar. And I give you a bunch of examples of what I've used. And then we talk about automation. So I have an automated webinar that generates at least $1,000, if not $2,000 daily. So I share some of the tips of what my automated webinar looks like. So we walk through all 5 phases. And if you've ever been on anything with me, I'm a show and tell kind of girl. So I'm not just going to tell you how to do it. I want to show you a bunch of examples. That's why podcasts are great. But when you get on a live masterclass, you get to see it all in action. And then of course, Rick and I will do a live Q&A, stay on as long as we need to answer all those questions.
I mean, we have to because you talked about...
I know. I can't skip that one.
Don't rush through your Q&A. So we are going to stay on as long as people have questions.
I'm going to need to be at the top of my game. I just said a lot of stuff in this podcast that I better be doing, right?
You better have like bulletproof coffee going that morning, all kinds of stuff. You better be
ready to go. Don't make me nervous.
Don't be nervous. It's going to be a lot of fun. So guys, that is this week. So depending on when you're listening to this, it's this week, Thursday, January 28th at 10 a.m. Pacific time. We're going to jump on and do a live masterclass together, how to create and deliver your first 5-figure webinar, even if you don't have a list. If you want to register for this, go to rickmulready.com/Amy Porterfield. Okay, rickmulready.com/Amy Porterfield. I'll also have that link in the show notes for today's episode, which is rickmulready.com/72. You can hear my wheezing here. I've been sick all week and now I'm losing my breath. So you didn't know about that. That is a good time to wrap up as I'm starting to get wheezy here. Amy, thank you so much for coming on here. Where else can people connect with you? You know, they're gonna come on to the live webinar this week with us. But where else can people connect with you?
Well, thanks for asking. You can go to amyporterfield.com. I've got a lot of free articles on there about webinars and list building and all that good stuff. So thank you so much, Rick, for having me. It's always so much fun.
All right. Hope you got a lot out of this one with Amy. Always great to have her here on the show. As we talked about, we're getting together to do a live masterclass this week. Well, depending on when you're listening to this, it's going to be Thursday, January 28th at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Again, so that's this week, Thursday, January 28th at 10 a.m. Pacific time. It's called How to Create and Deliver Your First 5-Figure Webinar, Even If You Don't Have a List. It's going to be a blast. We always have a good time when we do trainings together. You're going to walk away with a ton of actionable tips, strategies, and case studies that you can use in your business so that you can either improve upon how you're already using webinars in your business or create your first high converting webinar. If you'd like to register and reserve your spot, just go to rickmulready.com/Amy Porterfield. Okay. I'll be sure and link that up in the show notes for today's episode as well, but it's rickmulready.com/Amy Porterfield. All right, my friends, that is all for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening today. Coming up here on AOPT, we're going to get back into some YouTube advertising with Ryan Masters. We're going to talk about how to build your marketing to scale with David Yeager. I've got an episode on metrics and the power behind understanding your lead value with Charlie and Keith, the guys from Seg Metrics. A lot of great content coming your way. So until then, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.